Okay, so you're recording. I said, hey, Kev. five more weeks till Rosh Hashanah. And you have a pig. And so the parsha, though, is all about the wonders of Eretz Yisrael, which is great for those who've made Aliyah. The rest of us will simply read the parsha and think, boy, we're in the wrong place. But includes our thanking Hashem for providence, includes the pasuk about B'yachalta b'savata b'rach t'shem al-kecha ala arz t'va shen hamlach, the mitzvah d'araita benching. Eat, and you will be satisfied, and you will bless God for the great land, the good land that he has given you. That's the only, probably the only bracha that's actually d'araita, that's actually biblically mandated. Question about Birkat Torah as well. So this is pretty explicit. It says b'rach t'shem al-kecha. And that's what the Gemara says. Amar Yehuda, minay lebrikat hamazon lachareha min haTorah. How do you know that thing, brikat hamazon, after eating? The bracha before eating are all derabbanan. How do you know the one, the same brikat hamazon after eating is from the Torah? It says, aviachalta b'savata b'rachta. It's about as explicit as you're going to get for a mitzvah. And as you know, there are six parts of Birkat HaMazon. Get this straight. There's Zimun beforehand when we invite community, invite everyone to join us, depending on how many are there at the table. There are four brachot.
You need three Jewish adults.
Technically, it's men, but women. But it's not mixed. And I will say that my very frum daughters refuse to make a Zimun. So I think the Shulchan Aruch explicitly says you should. Yeah, I agree. What? Right. So and why three? And then it's larger with 10. That's the whole discussion itself. But we look at the Zimun. There's Birkat Zan, Birkat Aruch.
Which three of the daughters are the very firm ones? It's okay. You don't have to answer that.
Oh, okay. DeVito, you're one of my top 10 favorite daughters. Right. Okay. Birkat Hazan, Birkat Aretz, Birkat Yerushalayim, Atovu Meitiv, and then all the Harachaman, which is what the Gemara calls Birkat Oreach. So it's not so much aimed at thanking Hashem, it's at thanking your host for the food and blessing the host, which we discussed last year. So the text we have for that central part of the Brachot was developed really over centuries. This is where the Gemara puts it in Gemara Brachot. Rav Nachman, Moshe Tikkun Yisrael Birkat Hazan, Bishas Shiyarad Lehemamah. That the first bracha comes from the time of Moshe. Next that we have. Yeshua Tikkun Lehem Birkat Haaretz, Kivan Shnechem Yisrael Laaretz, Yeshua established that they should say Birkat Haaretz, the second bracha, Noda, when they entered. Dav Yishlomo Tikkun Bon Yerushalayim, Bracha of Yerushalayim came from the time of David, obviously. David Tikkun Al Yisrael Amchav Yerushalayim Bracha. David said, basically, you have the bracha on Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim tikin al bayit hagadol v'yakadosh. The add in the Beit Hamikdash bracha. Atov Meitiv, the last one, v'yavne tiknua k'neged harugi beitar. Bracha of Tov Meitiv was centuries later at the Sanhedrin in Yavne after the second Beit Hamikdash was destroyed, when those who were killed at Beitar, Bar Kokhba's rebellion, were finally buried. The add of the bracha of Atov Meitiv. But the text itself is drabbanan. That's rabbinic. The Torah requires us just to thank Hashem. Barach Hashem Okechav doesn't say how. The question you have to ask, and I brought this up the table, is that can we fulfill obligations with the words of the Gaon of Springfield, Bart Simpson, who we could quote as saying, "Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub."
Well, we used to say it differently. We said, "Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God."
The problem with that, that's the original. That came from a movie called Josie's Castle in 1971, which was a highly inappropriate rated R movie. So I didn't want to quote that directly. So the Rabbi thanks for the grub, yay God, is in fact the original version of that. So are you Yotze Birkat HaMazon when you say that? You have thank God, that's great. The Gemara says, not exactly. You're not. Okay? But what Rabbi says is that the concepts of the brachot, Dan, Aris, and Yerushalayim, are actually required by the Torah. You have to mention all those three things. Rabbi Omer, Bechadav Svatir Rachta, that first part is Zubir Karazak. That's the obvious bracha. Thank you, I got for the food. The Birkin Zimun, what we say beforehand, doesn't come from, is not a Torah obligation, that is derived from Tehillim when it says Gadlu Hashem Iti, Nafka. It comes from Gadlu Hashem Iti. We understand that if we're with a, if we're publicly praying with a group, we should do it together. That's true by Birkin Mazon, so that's why you get, that's where you get the three from, as being a group. True of Halal also. Then when the pasuk says Al Berachta Hashem Melkecha Al Haaretz Zubrachan Aretz, that's the pasuk where we get the Aretz from. And when it says Haaretz Hatova Zubon Yerushalayim, that's where we get the idea of the Brachan Yerushalayim in Omer from the Devarim. Moshe calls it Haratov Hazeh Halavonon. Haratov is the place where we serve Hashem. That's the Tova. And Hatov Metiv Biyavin Tiknua. Tov Metiv is not from the Torah at all. Shabbat explains that's, you know, that basically it's we have to mention those three things. We need to mention Zan, Aretz, and Yerushalayim. The exact words you use, that's the Rabbanan. But you could say, Rabbi Dabdab, thanks for the grab, thanks for the land, and thanks for J-Town, yay God. Then you'd be Yotze. Adam Rinan, Rashba explained Gemara, Moshe Tikkun and Birkat Hazan, Yeshua Tikkun and Birkat Aretz, Vechule. Right, they were written later, Kashili, and I have a problem with that. But Hakayim Alam, behold, the Samuk, the Bracha. We just quoted the Gemara in Bracha. Elu Midoraita Ninu. That these things, right, Achad V'Savate Zuadzan, Haaretz V'Aretz, that those are from the Torah. Yesh Lamar. The answer is the Matpe An Hu Shetav Ulahem. That what they set was the exact text, literally the coinage. The words were what Moshe and Yeshua and David said. Even the writer, that from a biblical point of view, Imratza lo Mruha, you want to say it, the Eze Matbeah Shirta, whatever words you want to use, Amruha, you can say it. But to Moshe, Yeshua, and David, Shlomo, then Moshe, Yeshua, and David, and Shlomo came, the Knula Hen Matbean, Matbeah, they set an appropriate wordage, the Cholachat, the Zmana, everyone in their appropriate time. But you still have to say the word, you know. These three things have to be said in your Birkat HaMazon after eating.
Danny, is there anything about saying Birkat HaMazon in Hebrew, or you could say it in a language you understand?
The implication from all of this is that Midaraita is in any language you can understand.
Uh-huh.
Right? It doesn't, right? There are some places where we say it has to be said in Hebrew, where specifically here, where the Torah gives you the words, but here it doesn't. Berach Hashem Elkecha, there's no implication here of Hebrew at all, right? But yes, Bart Simpson's okay on that account. If you look at the pshat of the pasuk, though, is interesting. It says, "Yachalta v'savata, you will eat and you'll be satisfied. Berach Hashem Elkecha al ha'aretz ha'tova, Hashem Elkecha. You'll bless Hashem for the land." In other words, the only thing in pshat seems to be ilan birchat ha'aretz. It doesn't say thank God for the food. Is you'll eat and thank God for the land.
Where's the pasuk? You have it? Yechalta
v'savata. Yechalta v'savata uveirachta v'shem
l'kach. Ha'aretz ha'tova. Yeah, right.
Okay, so the Ramban looks at it and says, well, that doesn't make sense. I mean, the context certainly implies you're thanking Hashem for, or the, you know, you're eating, that's what you're thanking Hashem for, that's what bracha is. So Ramban actually has an and in there. So it says, "V'tam al aretz hatova kmo v'al aretz hatova." So really, the way to read it is, "Yeah, achad v'savata v'rakta Hashem l'kecha." And you'll eat, you'll be satisfied, you'll thank God for what you've just eaten, because that makes sense. V'al, and also on the land, we're adding that into it. "Satishitivachu b'chol eitzet tisava." You have to thank Hashem whenever you're satisfied with what you've eaten. Al sova for that action. V'al, and also on aretz hatanacha. And let Shinchila Lacha Lo Amim, Bitisma Mituva, and you're satisfied from its goodness. Right? Thank Hashem for the food, and I also thank Him for Eretz Yisrael, even if the food I'm eating doesn't come from there. So it's a very Tzioni implication, is that no matter what I'm eating, I should be eating the produce of the Holy Land.
Oh.
I should be living there and living off His produce. That's what reminded me.
Where do we get that we only bench when we have bread?
Oh, we only bench from Bechata v'Savata. Question, what counts as Soveya? So you can look at the Gemara Brachot about that question. And I think the answer is that a normal human diet consists of some high-carb food, either, you know, in Jewish culture at the time, it was bread, but other cultures have rice or corn or whatever, and then some protein and some vegetables around that. That's normal food.
So
it's the idea of a meal.
Is borei nefashot, or whatever we say, doraita? Because if we have a big meal without bread, and we say...
The answer, so I mean, that's off topic. You should learn the Gemara and Brachot.
Okay.
We've talked a lot about that. But the answer is no, that is not doraita.
Okay.
The Me'in Shalosh probably is. The Alamichya has all these three aspects. Okay? And... You know, it would be very weird from the culture of the Torah to be having a big meal that did not have bread, because what else were you eating? You couldn't afford to have nothing but meat.
Right.
And rice wasn't an option. You know, so I'm saying that was what your calories were from. The idea of Sevilla on, you know, cotton candy, it was just out of anyone's conception. So, yeah, the answer is it's got to be a meal. It's got to be Soveya. And we've ended up in a position where that is what we're soveya on, is on the bread. Not so much the bread itself that we're benching, it's the meal.
It's interesting also because in Alam Mechia, you said it has all the parts of it. You also say like al peroteha, al gafna, like you kind of combine that.
But what's interesting about that is that you only say al peroteha, al gafna, if you're eating in Eretz Yisrael. The nusach outside Israel is ala mechia of ala perot.
Right, but here, when you say it, you're saying, think it's sort of like the food and the land.
Yes, you have to mention the land there. Okay, so the question that I am going to focus on is why, what's this bracha for Yerushalayim? Why add that?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it says, well, arat ha-tova, and tova means aratov, and that's what Yerushalayim is a little forced. So the Chazon Sofer has a different approach. Look at the context of the pasuk entirely. You know, it's all talking about coming to Eretz Yisrael, appreciating what Hashem gives you, and not figuring, well, it's a good land, I've got lots of food, I'm fine. Here's the context. You will eat, you'll be satisfied, you'll thank Hashem for this land. Be careful. Be careful that you don't forget God. That you don't keep His commandments, the law, that I am Moshe command you today. Because what's going to happen? You're going to eat and you're going to be satisfied. You'll have these lovely houses. You'll live there. You will become haughty. And you'll forget God. Who brought you out of Egypt. So the Gemara adds, in your Ibrahima zone, your Bechata Shemokacha, Nachmatza Azakan Omer, Tariq to use Korba Brit. You have to mention the Brit. Nadelacha Shemokano, the Rabbi Yose Omer Tzarishi Yizkor B'Torah, you have to mention the Brit in Torah as part of your Birkat HaMazon. That's the Gemara. So the Chazon Sofer says, Yira, seems to me, Kiyarei Anu Mubarachim Birkat HaMazon, we bench, Maskarim Brit B'Torah, we add these other things that aren't directly connected to the food, we talk about the Brit, the connection with Hashem, the Torah, V'Chukecha, Sharata Tanu, and the laws you gave us. Why? Ki Zulat Zeh, in order to Baruch Al Mazon. Because if it's not for that, there's no point in benching and thanking Hashem for food. You know, Betzeb Kumaguf, because what value is there? God, that the fact that we can fill our bodies. Stuff my stomach. Halagufa Akur has that. Dark, unenlightened body. because eating and anything we get in this world are not appropriate for thanking God. That's not the point of eating, is to get a full stomach. Because the only reason why we're eating is in order to fulfill the Brit, to fulfill the Torah. We have a purpose in life. But if all you're doing is eating, and you're thanking Hashem for eating, greater, for simply for eating, you're going to think about what you have in this world. That's what's important, and that's going to be priorities. And that's all you're going to try to achieve, is more, get more stuff. Even if you're benching, if all you're talking about is how good it is to eat, then you end up being in the state of Shachakta Hashem Elokecha. Yisur Me'acharav, Al Kain, and that's why it says, Amor, Achad of Sabbath, Yisur Hashem Elokecha, Al Arz Tava. Right? If you do it for the food and the land itself, lo akiyum mitzvot, and you don't have in mind keeping the mitzvot, yishamar lecha p'tishkach, be careful, because you're gonna end up forgetting Hashem. You need to keep your priorities straight. Thanking Hashem is, the food is not enough. Even if you bench regularly, you have that sense of gratitude, you don't appreciate the purpose of the food, you'll end up in the state of tochal b'savato shachachta. You need to thank Hashem for giving you a purpose, a reason to eat the food. That's what Chassam Sefer. In fact, more than that, I need to thank Hashem for allowing me to ask for the food at all. The very fact that I have to ask, that's what I need to thank Hashem for. And there's a Gemara in Yuma, famous Gemara. Shalut Tamidov Shal Rabbi Yishmael Ben Yochai. His students asked him, why did the man fall every day? Why did they just get a huge pile of man once a year? They put it in the refrigerator and just save it for the year. Amar lahem, said, I'll give you a mashal. What is this like? L'melech baser v'adav, a king, so it must be a mashal. A human king, sheyesh lo ben achad, who had a son. And he's going to support the son, but he's going to say, we're going to give you allowance. Here's an annual salary. You take it. Now go away. And therefore, never talk to his father. He only talk to his father once a year to get the annual check. So the father says, no, I don't want that. He says, no, you're going to have to come to me every single day. And ask for and you'll get your food that day. So then he actually would talk to his father every day. Now my children will never be it like that. But we get the mashal here. Af Yisrael, if you had a big family, had egvo married to the money, would be worried every day. I've got to worry about my food every day. We're all gonna die of starvation. So every day they would thank Hashem. They would ask Hashem for the food. That would be establishing a relationship. And they could take it for granted, and there's nothing there. Pasha gives the comparison with Egypt, with the Nile floods. You don't have to daven. Every year the Nile floods, food's there. So it's asking for rain, which you really need daven for.
It's a funny mashal. It's a funny mashal. That's not what you expect. You expect, like, you only would see him once a year, therefore God gives it every day, so we see him every day and we don't forget about him. Not this right? thing. That's, a lot of kids that you're worried about how to feed them, and it's a funny...
That's the nimshal. That's saying that.
Yeah, the nimshal is to follow from the mashal. It's a funny
that the fact that you get the money only comes every day, and you only get enough for that one day, meant that you were kula mekabnim liban l'avir shemayim. They all ask God every single day.
I guess so. Yeah.
Right. That's the idea. That.
You know, it's poignant. It feels like this guy, whoever he was, who was it? Shimon ben Yochai? Like that Shimon he had a lot of kids and he was worried about how to feed them and all these kids and what are you going to do?
Shimon ben Yochai, I remember, only had one son.
He did?
He's the one who was in the cave. Yeah, he was the one who was in the cave with his one son, the whole
Shimon ben Yochai story. Right.
Shimon ben Yochai, you know, right, like the Zohar, yeah, he didn't have lots of kids to worry about. He had a miracle feeding him the whole time. So, but, you know, this was a personal experience. He was describing what it meant to have man. And the whole part is about how the man yam chavia, right, was meant to be a lesson that you wouldn't know where your next day's food was coming from. You had to have faith and you had to have tefillah. And but that forced you to have a relationship.
It's a scary existence. Food, what's that? There's a word for it? Food. Scarcity or food security, food security.
Yeah, food insecurity. Yes, but you don't know where you're food. Right, and that was intentional, and that part of the lesson of Aman that we're supposed to get that we're thanking Hashem for is really that's true all the time of us as well. Even though I've got a pantry full, I'm still only one step away from really not having.
Right.
And this way that Rabbi Fruchter brought up was another muscle from the snake. It's going in Parashisha. When it says, "Vayomer Hashem, Elokim El Nachash," Hashem to the snake, "Kesidus, of course, you did this terrible thing because eat from the Eitz Hadat. Arur Atam, you called by Ma, you are cursed. You called by Hashem. Agal Chokat Elech, you will crawl in your belly. Afar Tochal, you'll call me Hayecha, and you will eat nothing but dust." And he guessed, well, that's not really a punishment to eat dust, because dust is easily available, it's cheap, right? You'll never go hungry, because you always find dirt out there. It says, no, that it was the Beit Hashem saying, here, you can eat what you want, but you'll never have to ask. Right? You're not gonna have the need to daven or have a relationship with Hashem. And that if you give your kids a credit card and don't never talk to them, that's not a healthy relationship with your kids. You need to talk to your kids. And that, you know, go telling the snake that go eat anything. I don't want to hear from you ever. It was a punishment from them. So that we have to realize what we're saying, Birkat HaMazon, that that's true too. We are thanking Hashem for having to ask for the food as well. And that's where Rav Soloveitchik puts it as well. This is from the Chumash Musar Rav. Fundamentally, Birkat HaMazon is not an act of thanksgiving or praise, but an act of remembering God, fulfillment of the constant command to remember, be cognizant of our Creator in every aspect of our life. Torah concludes, you know, same thing as the Chazon Sofer, but you must remember the Lord your God, for as He is giving you the strength to make wealth. Thus, Birkat HaMazon is not simply a particular command regarding food and our satiation, instead an expression of the belief and commitment that underpins our entire religious life. Indeed, from the standpoint of the psychology of religion, the telos, the purpose of Birkat HaMazon, to remember God, the most important element in one's religious experience. To offer praise before God is easy. To give thanks, one really has to become sentimental. However, to actually remember God, it's that and to ascribe everything to Him, to attribute the whole cosmic process of creation to God, you know, always He is the master, Lord, and owner of everything, requires a mental discipline of the highest order, and is in truth the basic religious experience.
Interesting.
This is important. So, what does it mean to say Yerushalayim? That I mentioned Yerushalayim and Birkat HaMazon. Because clearly there's no doubt to say Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim doesn't exist in the Torah. There is no Yerushalayim. It's HaMakom HaShem Yivchar HaShem, that there will be some place that you'll go to serve Hashem. And that's what it represents. It's a sense of relationship closest to Kodesh Baruch Hu. But we have to thank Hashem for. They say, thank you for the food, thank you for the land, and thank you for giving us this relationship that we ask for our food. So that explains what the text. Did you ever read the text of the third bracha of Rachem? It doesn't make any sense. We say it all the time. It starts with Yerushalayim Beit HaMikdash. It ends with Yerushalayim Beit HaMikdash, right? Rachem, this is the whole, you know this, right? Rachem Elkeinu, Yisrael Melcha, Yisrael Miracha, Tiyom Mishkach Vodecha, Malchut Beit Divi Mishkach, etc., Bayit HaGadol. And then it's got a bunch of words. Then, and we should build it. which obviously is not from Davin. That's later than Davin Shlomo, because they had a Yerushalayim and a Beit HaMikdash. But at least we're looking at, please rebuild Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, Bonei Brachmav Yerushalayim, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the bracha of Yerushalayim. But in the middle of it, we have this tefillah. Okeinu, right? Zonenu, Parnasenu, Chaleinu, feed us, support us, sustain us. V'na'atash v'cheinu Hashem Okeinu. And please, may we not need, we may not need gifts or loans from human beings. But give us from your hand. That's the center of the bracha is. It's nothing to do about Yerushalayim. It's feed us, and that please may not, we not depend on other human beings, but on you alone. I'll add a side point. Rav Soloveitchik has different nusach, which is the way I've been saying it. And the way Mike Oberlander also does, if you would have pointed it out to me. The nusach Birkan Mazon. And Noheg Rabbeinu Lamar, this is Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shachter talking about Rav Soloveitchik, he would say, right? That's a gimel there. Okay? Your hand that's full, open, and overflowing. Gimel. Right? Because Kedusha, there's something here about Kedusha. It's not something about Hashem's holiness. It's the fact that God's gifts are coming to us. Right? That's the Baal Shem Tov would say it that way. But that's probably the right way to say it, because that fits with the other words. Your hand that's full, open, overflowing.
I don't know that word. Gadush.
Gadush? Yeah, Gadush. Gadusha is modern Hebrew for overflowing. Gadish is a pile or a heap.
A what? A pile?
Pile or a heap. Yes.
Like a lot? What does it mean?
Yeah.
Yad Gadush.
Gadish is where you pile your grain in the field.
Oh, have to go with Gedusha. Okay.
Have a Gedusha. That's Jack what he says. Okay. Hamleab Tucha B'Gedusha, right? It's not about Gedusha. It's not about the Avodah. The whole bracha really isn't. That's what Aunt Yerushalayim is there for. It's appreciating that fact that we're dependent on Hashem. That's what this Yerushalayim Baruch HaMazon is all about. That we're dependent on Hashem, and that's a good thing. And we're thanking Hashem for the dependency, because that creates that relationship that we have to go and ask every day. And that warrants tefillah. And that's really what the Beit HaMikdash is all about. That's what Shlomo says. When he actually builds the Beit HaMikdash, he really doesn't talk about Korbanot. We call the Avodah. It's all tefillah. This is Shlomo's bracha, the inauguration of the Beit Midrash. Gimlein Yeshev Elokim al Arz, because, you know, rhetorically, is it possible for God to live in the earth? That because the heavens, the highest heavens, can't satisfy you. This house that I built, that's not for you. So, Ufanite al Tiyat Adacha. But you should turn to the prayer of your servant, Vel Tachano, Hashem Elokai, and to his plea, O God. Ushmol Rinav al Tzila, to listen to the prayer, Hashem, the Chamit Talel of Nechayim, that I pray before you today. That your eyes should be open, El Abayat HaYazeh, Lail HaYom. Your eyes are open into this house day and night, El Makom Asher Amarta, and to this place that you said Yeshmisham, that my name should be here. The Shmuel is in Tfila. You listen to the Tfila, to the prayers of Sheikh Balel Adachal Makom Azeh. Listen to the prayers that I pray here. Shemat Yishat Adachal Ba'amcha Yisrael. Listen to the prayers of your people. Hashem Palu Makom Azeh. They'll pray here. Hashem Yishma Makom Shivtacha. You'll listen. You'll pay attention to this place. And Makom Shivtacha. You listen in the place where you are. Hashemayim to the heavens. Shemata, and you'll hear of the Sakh, and you will forgive us. And that's what we're aiming for when we say Ben Yerushalayim. It's not really about the building, or even the Mikdash. It's Yeshaya's vision of Yotim HaKadshi, that will bring them to my house, the whole world. So, bring them to my house will be a house of tefillah for all nations. And I will be able to say that tefillah for everyone. And that's what the Berakta Shemokecha is really what that's all about. So when we're eating, we're saying, Achalta B'Savata, Berakta Shemokecha, it's not just about the food, it's about the whole purpose of our existence and our connection to Hashem. So, you have Kavana when you bench.
Yeah.
That's really real, bro. Important. And I will end there.